as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
What's going on, guys? It's the Boss Man here, and this is introduction to the JJ Boys podcast. This is going to be a learning session for real estate. I mean, this boy, he's 15 years old, and you've been around real estate for a minute.
Keep the mic up.
All right, I'll keep the mic up a little bit. All right, here we go. I told you guys it's a test run, so.
Yeah.
So let's, you've been around what? 15 years in your life, and
15 years coming up on 16. Can't say I have too much real estate experience, but it's what I want to get into. It's what I want to do. And there's no one better to learn from than
I've been bringing this boy with me ever since he could crawl to show houses, to mess with the rehabbers, to make sure that the paint's done.
We got to go pick up rent.
Listen,
over here.
You actually did your first eviction too. That was interesting.
That was interesting.
Yeah. You got
where was that? That was in wasn't that Talmadge Road? Where was that?
That was North Hill area.
North Hill.
Yes. That was, it was a nightmare. Yeah. This was the biggest hoarder ever. I don't know if you guys seen some of the pictures on Facebook. But we filled up five dumpsters. That was crazy.
It was a worldly experience. And that's worldly. What it's all about right now. As I'm looking to learn. Everyone's watching. You guys are looking to learn.
Yeah, listen. Our goal is we want to get you out of the rat race.
Yeah, no one wants to be stuck in that.
And I don't know if you guys, he actually just got done completing his first deal. And did you guys see his check? I mean, that's the gross. But yeah, that was a pretty good gross check.
The check looks pretty nice.
I don't know.
I'm not in the opportunity to do stuff if it wasn't for you. So,
well, listen, I don't know many 15, soon to be 16 year olds that actually had a six figure check wrote out to them. So that was pretty cool. That was definitely pretty cool.
Cool experience.
But, you know, I guess I want to tell you a little bit about my experience. You know, I've been in real estate pretty much my whole life. You know, I tell a lot of people, because I wasn't the best high school student or in college. You know, this is something I say, hey, thank God for real estate for C&D students. Now this boy here, he's not a C&D student.
I get a little better grades, but, you know.
Yeah, he's straight A's. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So you're actually, you're going to be well beyond me when you are my age. Well beyond it.
I think grades like that shows a good learning ability. And it's nothing more I want to do right now than learn how to do this stuff. So
listen, I used to, when I just got into real estate, it was eat, sleep, drink, real estate. You know, if somebody came up to me to talk to me, and if they were talking about real estate, I didn't want to talk to them. I mean, that's all I did was real estate.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, I probably done, I'm guessing close to 400 deals, 400 transactions in my days. I actually started off in my early 20s in Colorado, buying and selling. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was learning under a pretty cool guy, and you know, just started picking it up from there. And you know, now I'm know all kinds of techniques,
and,
you know, proven track record.
So what it takes is it takes someone to learn from and the motivation to learn. We have someone to learn from. You just have to have the motivation to learn.
Yeah, listen, the motivation is everything.
And that's everything.
You can't be scared. I mean, you know what scares me the most?
What?
Is getting a J-O-B. Getting a J-O-B. I mean, hey, you guys out there, do you know what a job stands for? I know you do.
What does it stand for?
Just over broke. You do not want a J-O-B.
No. I don't.
I know
you don't. I want to get into real estate.
Yeah. So some of the topics we're going to go over. You know, one of the things that people know the most is the fix and flip.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of ways I've become to learn to profit from real estate. A lot of people, they think of, let's buy a house, put some money into it, sell it. That's like, I don't want to say that's the generic way, but that is what a lot of people associate when they think real estate investor. There is a lot more than that, though.
Yeah, buy cheap and then retail. You know, the thing is, the thing that I learned that a lot of people, they don't know what a deal is. But, you know, I've showed this guy the formula that I've been using. And if it doesn't fit the formula, guess what?
It's a no deal.
Yeah, we don't buy it. I mean,
yeah. And really, that's what it comes down to. When you get the experience, like the boss man over here, once you get that kind of experience, sometimes it just comes down to a formula. It just comes down to crunching some numbers to see deal or no deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, really the formula, you have your profit already factored in. So, I mean, if you want the deal really bad and you have down there that, hey, I'm going to make 40 grand, but the deal, you know, maybe 10 grand short. Well, guess what? You only make 30 grand.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than getting the JOB.
Yeah. Now, there are other ways of getting into real estate and investing. What are some of the other?
Yeah, some of the other ways, I think you have to master certain areas, and you have to know what a deal is. And if you could find the deal, you don't need the money. You could always sell the deal and just make a quick, you know, 2 to 10 grand on a wholesale deal. So, you know, you go out and find a deal and then you would sell it to somebody that wants to retail it.
And wholesaling, it's from what I've learned and been able to experience, it's an easy way. A lot of people use that as to get into it. It's easy and it's, you know, it's a good starting point for a lot of people. I see myself starting to do a lot of those here soon.
Yeah. So the deal that we had to evict the lady, I was going to do a fix and flip on that, but we ended up wholesaling it. Because the company behind the house wanted the house. And,
yeah,
and I was like, man,
when companies want places, they'll pay top dollar to make sure they get
and
it.
And they actually wrote a check. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you know, I told them to make sure they write it to the title company. I mean, that was a good one. But that is a wholesale deal. And another way, you know, a good way to do it. And a lot of people, they don't know this by now. And there's a lot of low interest rates that's been out there, you know, like 2.5%, 3%.
And a lot of people that didn't have that refinance when they could get that to make sure they have a lower interest rate. So they're out there.
So even if a house, this is called, you know, I call it, you know, getting the deed, doing a wraparound mortgage. You know, if a house is out there and it's in pretty decent shape and it's got that low interest rate and there's like really no equity, to where, you know, people are like, you know, this ain't no deal. There's no equity. It's worth 150 and, you know, 140,000's owed. Yeah, there's really no equity there, but go ahead.
Now this is a concept I'm still coming around to learning. I want to experience it, be able to do some of my own deals with it, to be able to learn it really greatly. And it's something hard to understand, especially for someone that's kind of new. I always try and put it in simple terms, but like if you have a house, 100 grand, and you have a mortgage that if you paid it all off, it's 100 grand. That means there is zero equity in the house.
Well, listen, it's negative equity because you can't even pay a realtor.
If you were to sell it, you have to pay the realtor. You got to go through that process. So you'll end up losing money. And a good way, and it's real cheap because a lot of people, they won't understand it. I still don't even understand it. Why someone would deed you a house for nothing. You come to the people with this, that what is essentially negative equity, and you just come up, you offer $500 for them to deed the house over, meaning you own the house. They do it. Just like that, you got a $100,000 house.
It's all real estate is we're in the problem solving business pretty much. So if they have a problem and we can create win-win situations, I mean, it's usually a pretty decent
deal. Have a problem. They're behind on their mortgage. They can't pay it.
You know, most
they don't want to sell it.
Most of the time that's because of a divorce. You know, you will run into all kinds of divorce deals where the husband is trying to stick it to the wife trying to stick it to the husband and,
yeah,
you know, so they neither one of them are paying. I mean, those, you know, and then we go in there and we create a win-win situation.
Yeah. They're winning because they get out of the situation they're in, and we're winning because we know how to invest the money properly to end up making money off of it.
Yeah, correct.
And it's a hard concept to learn, but once you understand it, you always understand it. And once you master it as you do deals with it, then you're out of the rat race at that point.
Yeah,
you've already
much.
Got to the point where you're doing pretty good.
So your goal, pretty much, when you start doing the wraps and stuff, you know, a lot of people don't even know what their outgo is. So as soon as you get your income from real estate that is equal to or surpasses your outgo, guess what?
You're out of the rat race.
You're out of the rat race. It's literally that easy.
Yeah.
So you just have to figure it out. You got to sit down and really crunch the numbers and say, well, no, I'm not spending five. It doesn't take five. It's really probably $6,000 to $7,000 a month that I need to make, and how many deals that we need to do. And, you know, that's it until you're out of the rat race.
Yeah. And then there's, of course, we already mentioned once, there's going to be certain formulas for everything. You'll know a good deal once you've done it for long enough, like you have. You'll know a good deal when you see it. And it's really, it just comes down to the numbers again. And if you plug in numbers, you know, if I could sell this house for this and I could buy it for this, it'll probably cost this much to fix it. You know what you'll make.
Yeah, you're going to know up front. So what we're pretty much talking about today, you know, we're just going over the, you know, the general idea of all the real estate, but we're going to definitely get into the nitty gritty of it in future podcasts. But, you know, while we're at it, you know, another way that you could take over properties, and I love doing this, is the lease purchase. I love leasing houses with the right to purchase and the right to sublease it.
Now, this is one that I don't really
you
understand.
Haven't done.
I haven't gotten any exposure to this. I don't really know it yet. So I'll be learning right along with everybody that's watching.
Yeah. But the lease purchases, we'll go out, we'll do live deals. And the lease purchases, these are the ones where I like to target like the really, really nice houses. I would say 200,000 and up, man. One time in Colorado, I lease purchased an $800,000 house. And this was in the early 2000s.
Yeah, so
I couldn't believe it. I went in there I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I got a lease purchase for that big of a house. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, what do I do now? You know, should I move in this thing? But no, I only had enough money to make like one rent payment. So luckily what I did is I had the right to sublease it. I got somebody in there to cover the payment. Not only cover the payment, I got $800 a month over and above that. And what I sold it to them for and what my purchase price was like a $90,000 spread.
Yeah. And this will all be stuff that we go over more in depth, exactly how to do it, exactly the numbers. We'll give you examples for everything. We will teach everyone the best way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you too could, you know, get a check for the picture that you're seeing. Well, what do you think? Think we should go over the formula or just?
I think we could save that for when we talk a little more about
that.
Fix and flips.
All right. Well, another way, okay, something else that we're going to go over in depth is, you know, okay, you're talking about all this stuff, but how do you find these houses?
And that's, I think, so we recently went to a big real estate seminar. What was the guy's name that
Bill,
we went to?
The legal whiz, Bill Bronchek.
Yeah, and what a big takeaway I got from it was really good, really informational, but I learned a lot. And what a lot of people's issues were, even from talking to the other people that were there networking, they can't find deals.
Yeah.
That's their issue. They can't find them.
Or they don't know what a deal is, really.
Yeah. I mean, or like, so let's say they can't go out. They know what they're looking for, but they can't find it. Or sometimes they know they have it. They just don't know it. And it's, I don't know. It's probably almost 50% of all real estate investing. Being able to find, it's actually probably even more than
that. Yeah.
If you could find the deals, everything else will come to you.
I mean, once you find the deal, it's done. You're going to make money.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have 50 cents to your name, you're going to make money. If you find the right deal and you could tie it up with the purchase agreement with the right to sell the agreement or the right to assign the agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to make money. And there's all kinds of ways we find houses. You know, I'll go over one of them that I like. You know, I incorporate, I love my trash guys. I love them. I do. So I give my trash guys a really detailed what I'm looking for in houses, because they're going around everywhere checking out the houses. So here, you bring me back a lead from an address, you know, of a house that, you know, looks like it's empty, or, you know, they just got evicted. You know, I'll give you $20 per house, but you got to make sure that you give them a what you want, because you know what? They're going to bring you back the first day. They're going to bring you back 50 houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to watch it. So you got to really, really, once they get trained in that, you know, they're usually going to make, you know, a couple hundred bucks a week by bringing you deals. And you just have to know how to find them. That's just one technique.
So yeah, there's a lot of really good techniques for marketing. And it's funny talking about marketing because, I mean, we've been doing it for forever. I can remember when I was way little, going on there talking about the JJ Boys, OCW, doing my promotional videos for OCW, the MMA, all that stuff. Then it went to doing videos for the water park here. We've always been doing marketing, and now I'm able to apply all the stuff I learned even when I was little to what I want to do now. Because it's all, when it comes down to it, a lot of it's marketing, being able to reach out to people, it's connections with people, and it's all stuff we'll go into a lot of more specific strategies at a different time, because really it's something that you could cover
pretty much each strategy is going to be a whole entire episode.
Yeah, you could, I mean, you could cover so
in depth with it.
Like, you could cover how to find deals for hours, because there's so many different ways and there's so many good ways of perfecting it. And it's one of the most important parts of real estate. It's probably the most important part. That's and it's it. The part that what I tend to realize, the part most people have the most problems with.
And we've actually, the deal that you did, that was somebody passed away in the house, and it ended up being a probate deal.
Yeah, it goes into the person died and the only relative lives on the West Coast.
And they weren't even sure that they were going to open probate. He didn't have no one. And so the deal kind of came across our table, and I told him, I'm like, man, this is going to be a good first deal for you. And he got a check.
Able to get it done.
He got a check.
That's just another good example of when you find the deal, you'll find a way to close it.
Yep. And then like I'm saying, you know, create, we got to fit everyone. When you find the deal, you got to create those win-win scenarios. You know, people sometimes ask me, they're like, well, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a transaction engineer. I just,
a lot of people,
you got to come up with solutions.
A lot of people, I think they get confused when you talk about the differences between like a real estate investor. They think of like the fix and flip, but then some of the stuff we get to explaining, like the wraparound stuff, when we're doing wholesales, some people, they want to call us realtors. They think that's what realtors do. And so there's huge differences.
Oh yeah, huge difference. I mean, we're actually going to have them under contract.
Yeah.
And we're either going to buy them or, you know, sell the contract.
And it's not always a bad thing to work with realtors too, to sell houses, especially if you have like a group of realtors that you know that you can consistently go to.
All right, boy. Well, that's, like I said, that's going to be a whole entire
episode. That's a huge topic.
I mean, the next one would be once you have the deal. All right. So I don't have no money. Boss man, I don't have no money. You know, I've told a couple people this, you know, they're like, I want to get in real estate. I'm like, well, go out there and find a deal and make an offer and call me when you got a contract. I got a call 2 days ago. He called me up. Boss man, I got a contract. Oh my gosh, I don't have no money. They actually want $1,500 for earnest money. And I told him I'm going to mail it to you, or I'm going to send it in. So he came to me and he wanted to partner up. And from paper, it looked great. It did. It looked great. I didn't drive you by this one. School. And I went over there and I'm like, whoa. I mean, this thing was a, it needed bulldozed, it pretty much. I mean, once you get into a rehab that intense, or you, that's even a hard wholesale deal.
Yeah.
So you just, you got to watch, you know, throwing money at, you got to understand what the deal is.
I mean, that's if you're like lending the money though. A lot, what a lot of people don't understand is, well, I mean, you go out, you find the deal, but you don't have any money. You'll find a way to get the money. You can, you'll be asking people all day, every day. Yeah, to really get as much money as
what
possible.
What we just talked about, the lease purchase with the right to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't, you need very, very little money. If you could get a credit card, you could
Well, of course, there's the strategies that don't take a lot of money, but a lot of people that want to get into the fix and flips, they get real freaked out because they don't have any money. It's okay if you have to get lent $100,000. People get freaked out because you start throwing huge numbers like that. They're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, if you own the house for 4 months total and you borrow $100,000 and you.
And there's, listen, people there. If you think that you can't get the money, you could get it.
Yeah.
If you have the right deal, you're going to have to pay probably 12% interest, but guess what?
You'll end up making money because
12% interest is a lot better than splitting a deal with somebody. I mean,
you borrow. So like, I'll continue trying to describe this because a lot of people, they always, well, it's taught that debt's bad, get out of debt. Not all debt is bad, and that's a concept that a lot of people don't understand. You borrow the $100,000 and let's say you buy the house for 60, you put 20 into it, there's $20,000 in other and holding costs, taxes. Let's say you pay workers to do it. So you're not even doing the work. Let's say it comes out to about $100,000. So you used all the money that you borrowed, but then let's say you sell it for 120. You made $20,000 when you had zero to start. And it's all because you know how to borrow money.
Yeah. You know how to borrow it.
Yeah.
And
it I think that freaks a lot of people out. When it comes down to it, it's really simple. Like, I think when you explain it to someone and the people that don't understand it, it's like almost funny because it's real simple math. It's just the numbers get big and everyone's been taught get out of debt, stay out of debt, work 8 hours every day, five days a week. And then they see a number like, I'm going to borrow $100,000 from the bank? No way. I'm only going to borrow that much money if I'm going to buy a house that I'm going to live in, which is.
Listen, I hope you're able to borrow $10 million, $50 million, $100 million. You know why? Because someone else is paying off the debt.
Yeah.
That's the whole entire thing about real estate. Somebody is paying your debt. And you're making money off of it. You're getting the tax implications. Great, because you get to depreciate it. That's going to be another topic. We'll probably get an accountant in here for that one.
Yeah, the taxes, that's another big one because that's one I don't understand at all. I'll be learning right there with all you guys for that. And with the taxes, I mean, I don't understand it really. And that's also a really huge topic because a lot of people, no one wants to pay the government nothing. I know that.
Yeah, well, you don't want to. That's something else. You know, people do. You know, they trip over the dimes. Don't trip over the dimes to get to the dollars. Yeah, you want to grab. Yeah, don't trip over. Just do the deal. Don't be scared. Get out of the rat race.
Maybe that's something. If you look a little deeper into it, that you're kind of stuck on a little bit.
Oh yeah.
You ever think about that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Here recently, listen, he's got me out of my shell. You know, I kind of got complacent, you know, over the last few years and comfortable. I guess comfortable.
Yeah.
And then once you get comfortable, you get soft. Listen, you can't get soft. You gotta hit the gym. We're actually going to the gym after this.
Yeah.
And we're probably gonna be talking about real estate the whole entire time because if you're not working out, talking about real estate or drinking protein drinks, this boy don't want to talk to you. And So let's see, where are we at here? Another way, once you get the deal, once you fund it and everything, now you got to protect yourself. You know, you got to protect your assets. you know, for instance, I was just in court with your mom, and her attorney was grilling me. I was on the stand for 5 hours asking me about these land trusts. So if you purchase a property, you don't want to have the property in your name.
No.
You know why? Because you will have, you know, say you got five properties and you accidentally bump somebody, you know, with your car, and they have an attorney friend, I don't know, kind of like what I just got through with, and they look your name up. Public record. Wow, you own five houses? Let's sue this guy. All right.
Yeah.
But hey, if you keep these things in, you know, LLCs, C corps, S corps, land trusts, nobody knows, you know, what's owed or owned.
Yeah, and all that stuff. You know,
it's corporate entities.
We'll be able to get into a little more because each one of them are kind of specific.
We'll probably need like specific things. We'll even probably have some stuff up so you can see some diagrams. Yeah. You know, that gets pretty tricky. Well, let's the next one. Let's go into some rehab strategies.
Now, you know, this is going back to the fix and flips. And a lot of people, it's important because when that's what a lot of people associate with, it's what a lot of people want to get into. Because they think real estate investor.
That you buy cheap, retail it. Cause they see all these things on TV too. The fix and flip TV.
It's interesting. Cause that part of it has been so marketed to like the consumer. Cause that's what I mean when I say that's what everyone associates it with. Because that's what they see on TV. They'll see, what's that dude and the chick? What's their name?
Listen, that dude just got screwed over.
Yeah, but it's...
I can't stand it.
But it's what people think of. And it's what, of course, you want to teach me how to do. I want to learn how to do it. It's what we want to teach you how to do. And it's not just as simple as, I'm going to put this money into it. Yeah. Well, what exactly do you put
could,
the money into?
You could very, very easily just go way overboard with rehabs. Yeah. I've seen so many people do that where, I mean, you got to put the money into the things that sell. I mean,
when you go, and then also when you go way overboard, or you have more costs than what you imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we talked about earlier with the formula, there's a formula for everything. Once you go above the cost, well, then your profit starts going down. You don't want your profit to go down. You want that number to stay as high. You want that number to go up. You want it to stay as high as possible.
You want to come in lower than your rehab costs, and you don't want to use any of your contingency costs that we add in the formula also.
So that's why with the rehab strategies, it's you don't want to just put money into the stuff that really, when it comes down to it, you don't need to fix. If you don't need to fix it, don't fix it. But if there's certain things, maybe it's on the border, you do want to fix them, like a kitchen. What two things sells a house the best?
Kitchens and baths.
Yeah.
And it depends on, you know, I know some other things too. But all right, so for instance, you said the kitchen. So what I like to do, I will go, you know, with a cheap sink. But you know what? That damn faucet is going to be the most expensive, the coolest faucet around.
Yeah.
They love, if you have a really nice faucet, it's in.
Yeah. You just, once you give it a fresh coat of paint, maybe change up the floors a little bit. You just add those, what you call them, sizzle features.
Yeah, sizzle features.
Where it's like you fix up the yard, you do some landscaping to that so it looks presentable on the outside. It's just the little stuff like that where you can get away with only putting 15 grand or 20 grand into a house, but then you're able to sell it for so much more. What it's all about.
With the sizzle features, I mean, that's like, you know, like the sinks.
Yeah.
I mean, you could buy a sink from $20, you know, it's hard to find them now for 20, but up to hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I like to buy, you know, if I'm in a $200,000 house, you know, something, you know, right around 80 to 150, but my faucet is extremely nice. It is so fancy.
Oh yeah.
And people just look at that faucet. And I do that also in the bathrooms. I mean, all right, ladies, I'm going to say it. But you guys always, every time you guys go into a bathroom, you guys always look at the shower head. I don't know why they do that, son, but they always look at the shower head. So guess what? I have the best shower head ever in the bathrooms. You could take that thing off. You could. It has 50 different modes on
and
there.
And guess what? It sells.
Oh, I'm telling you, like I've sold so many houses because of the shower head. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, like you think about it, you go buy the shower head for $200, but then on your final price that you're selling the house for, it could potentially be increasing it by over grand.
Listen, you got
if you want to get real specific with
numbers.
You got to
have the fanciest shower head, and you can put some jets in there. That's huge. You know, one other thing, like say we're doing one in the inner city of Akron. This is what I've done over there, and it's worked great. So you fix the house up. You don't go overboard at all. You just bring it up to like an FHA standard or something that, you know, a Section 8 standard of a house. But if you want to sell it, there's not a whole lot of things selling over there. But you know what sells it, son? What do you think?
What would sell it?
I pour just a little tiny pad, and I put a hot tub outside. There is a $900 hot tub. No houses over in, I guess we want to call it the hood. None of them have a hot tub. And I've sold so many houses over there just because nobody has it. And they're like, they're so focused on that. They're like, oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. I can't wait to get in it. And I make sure, like when I'm showing the house, I lift that top off, the steam comes out, the jets are rolling.
They're like,
all right, I'll buy it.
She's like, oh my gosh, I get a hot tub the shower.
They love it. They love it. yeah. And so that's just some of the sizzle features that I've used. There's a bunch more, but we'll go into that a little bit later.
So the next pretty big thing is dealing with people when it comes to buying houses.
Yes.
So you have someone selling a house, they have a realtor, then you have to deal with the realtor. No one really likes dealing with certain realtors.
I mean, the thing is, we're in the real estate business. So, you know, we're going to deal with realtors.
Of course, you can't. You have to be able to do it.
We're going
to
deal with realtors. So, you know, so let's just figure out how to get them paid. You know, a lot of realtors.
Yeah, when it comes.
They'll bring you deals, or they'll, like when we're selling. You know, you don't ever want to turn away a realtor. You want to accept them. Hey, pay them. Let's figure out how to pay them. Yeah. And let's just pay them.
No, when it comes down to it, the realtor wants to find a way. How much do they make percent? It's 6%.
Usually 6%. Yeah. And then
they make 6%. So like you're dealing with the realtor. If you can throw some things in the deal to make them feel comfortable, they'll be completely okay with either lowering the price for what you're buying it for, raising the price, but realtors, that's one thing. You want to look at motivated sellers. So people who are just selling it without a real estate agent.
Yeah. Usually once a house, this we're on the buying mode now.
Yeah.
Usually once a house goes with the realtor, hits the MLS, it's not a deal.
Yeah, because then so you put those numbers into those your formulas, and your profit starts becoming lower and lower, and then the risk factor goes up of if something goes wrong, then I'll be in the negative. And of course, you'll have negative. You've probably had your fair share of negative deals.
Listen, I don't lose. I thought. Listen, one thing in real estate, I thought I screwed up so bad on some of them, and the ones that scare me are the ones with septics. The ones with wells and you know, you never know. So you better have at least a $10,000 to $15,000 contingency factor in your formula when you're dealing with these properties. And you know that the house is old and you know that something's going to be wrong with the septic now, because they come out and inspect it. And there's new laws to where, you know, you just can't fix it. You got to replace the whole thing back. And, you know, you're looking at $15,000 to do that.
And see, it's funny you say something about the laws. That's another thing you could probably go in depth on for a very long time, talking about the rules, the regulations, the laws for your corporations, what defines being a realtor and a real estate investor or a broker, all the stuff.
Dealer.
There are very specific terms for all of them, and it's all due to government regulations, government rules. And that's something we could probably
we could go on for a while about. Yeah, we'll get some experts in here. I'd love to have an attorney in here, real estate attorney.
Stuff like that. I mean, that kind of you could put that in with the taxes, really.
Yeah.
Because that taxes are just it's a big government thing. It's what you have to do. And a lot of that stuff we'll be able to go in depth on certain episodes, and it'll be real informative, not just to the viewer, but to me, because like the rules, regulations, the taxes, I haven't been around for long enough. I've never had to pay taxes. I don't understand taxes.
You're going to have to now.
Yeah, that's something that was greatly reminded of.
But one thing about it is they're always changing, it seems like. Something is always changing. So you got to be up on that constantly. Every time there's change, there's chaos.
Yeah, so... And that's a big thing. You always got to pay attention to what's going on, like around the world, or like, I don't want to get political, but you look at the U.S. presidents and you have Donald Trump in there. You got to know that because he might put in some policies that are favorable towards real estate people.
Yeah,
or you look at certain other, I mean, you look at other presidents, they might have policies that aren't very favorable. And it's not, okay, I can make money when this guy's in, but not when this guy's in, or when this natural disaster happens, so I'm going to have to lay back. No, you are always able to make money in any opportunity.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, every time there's change and there's chaos, if you have the ability just to kind of sit back and observe, you know, that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth to listen. And especially when there's that chaos, when there's new laws that come out, you just gotta think. And then, you know, these smart people, all these, you know, real smart attorneys and lawyers, you know, they come out and they find, they'll tell you how to do it eventually.
And really, if you think about it, it comes down to, it's the people who identify the change first and are the first people to do something about it. They end up hitting it huge. Like, think about recently with the AI. Everyone's been flipping out about the AI. There's so many people making so much money off of it. Oh. And it's just because they went out. They were motivated to make money. And they were the first ones to go out and understand what was happening with the change. And they found a way to sell it back to the people. That is what we're basically describing to you, that you need to be able to learn how to do. And I think it's something I'll be able to excel on because I'm okay with change. I'm okay with being able to identify stuff like that. And a lot of people, they just...
Yeah, they hate change.
Yeah, they get comfortable. They don't like change.
Just kind of like how you just explained that I was getting in that same old rut, you know.
And maybe that's why real estate investing, we want to help as many people as possible, but it's definitely not for everyone. A lot of people are completely okay with working a job that they like doing. Let's say they make 80 grand a year, 60 grand a year. They like doing it. They have a good retirement set up. They're okay with doing that. And they like their comfortability. They don't want stuff to change how they're doing it. So they're okay with it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just been real estate investing is just not for you. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. We are looking to help the people who don't want to do that.
Yeah, that don't want to do it.
They don't have a job that they like, which I know is a lot of people out there.
Hey, I hate to keep saying it, but the C&D students, you know, he's an A student, but, you know, I was definitely the C&D one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, another thing is dealing with attorneys. You're constantly going to be dealing with attorneys. There's great ones out there, and then there's bad ones. Usually attorneys, they're very, very good at screwing up your deal. I mean, they're excellent at it. Excellent. So, and it's funny, most of the time, if you know more about real estate than your attorney, you need to try to stay away from them or get a new attorney. Or just, if it's not your attorney, it's their attorney.
Yeah.
You know, and then you feel like you have to educate that attorney. I mean, all that's happened multiple times. You know, they don't understand, you know, a lot of the stuff. And that's something that, you know, we're going to teach you, you know, just how to deal with multiple people. Let's see. What's next on the list here, son?
The selecting areas to find properties.
Yeah, select.
That's goes in right with finding deals. We talked about how that's the hardest part. That's we could talk for days about how to find deals, how to market, how to do all that stuff. That this is a huge aspect of that, finding the areas.
Yeah, and you could you could do this in every area. That's what's cool about real estate.
Yeah,
but your strategy is going to be different.
Yeah, your strategy is different. So if you're downtown Akron in houses that could be Section 8, your strategy is going to be different.
It might be buy and hold for a rental or
Let's say you're driving around in the nice part of Norton and you have a house that you're seeing, but you're on a street where every house the minimum is $250,000. Your strategy is going to be very different.
And they've only owned the house for say 2 years.
Yeah.
And they guess what? Guess what kind of just a clicking in my brain, that is a good lease purchase potential.
Yeah, and so we want to be able to teach these strategies that I have some of them I have a good grasp on, some of them I don't, but we want to be able to learn the strategies, teach all the strategies so you know when you're finding deals, what strategy or what technique you should use to make sure you maximize your profit that you're making.
The construction and constructing and presenting offers. Okay. So you get all these people calling you. You come up with the marketing strategy, get people calling you. All right. Or your trash buddies, you know, bring you a bunch of deals. What do you do then?
Well, so, you actually have to be able to make the deal or not make the deal as in make your money, but you have to be able to buy the house.
Well, you got to be able to sift through a lot of deals in order to find, you know, the real deal. We only are dealing with a select few people. We're dealing with people that are motivated because they have some kind of issue going on. And we got to create win-win solutions.
And we're not, you don't take advantage of people.
No.
We're helping them.
Yes. Yes. If we cannot help them figure out their solution, you know, I've had multiple people, I've done deals where, you know, I've given them $500 and they deeded me over a property. It's kind of buried, but they were so happy that I caught them up on their payments and took them away from their payment debt.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget the one where they started praying with me and stuff. I'm like, wow, you know, they just deeded me their house and now they want to pray with me.
Yeah. And that is just another topic, a part of being able to find deals and be able to make the offer, know how to negotiate with people, be a people person. You have to be able to communicate and talk to people. If you're like a shy person ingoing, you're going to have to come out of your shell a little bit. You will have to.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be dealing with, people that own, you know, you go to Hudson. We're dealing with people with $1 million homes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to Akron, you know, dealing with people that own $50,000, $60,000 homes. Or, you'll go knock on someone's door and some big biker looking guy. Comes to the door and is like, can I help you? You know,
you're going to have to be able to know how to be friends with all of them.
You got to
how to make them happy. And there's certain strategies with that you'll be able to do.
All right. And then Matt just came in. Hey, Matt. All right. So we're into this for 42 minutes. Can you believe that? 42 minutes. We've been talking.
Time flies, man.
Wow.
Well, we'll get to the last general topic and then we'll be able to.
Yeah, but getting right back to the constructing of the deals, I always approach it with kind of like a three-prong deal where, you know, I like to present them with an all-cash offer, and that's usually pretty cheap. You know, if you ever make an all-cash offer and you don't, you tell them, $80,000, you're probably offering too much money. Offering too much.
If they take the first month deal you put out there, it's horrible. Screwed up. That's not what you want.
All right. Are we still rolling over there? All right.
I think that's...
Well, we'll get into the construction of, usually the three-prong
method. Yeah, all this stuff, this is just a test run and kind of an overview of a lot of the stuff we want to teach you and a lot of stuff we want to talk about. And a lot of this stuff we can go in for and talk about for hours individually, because it's, some of it's so important, like the finding of the deals. You could talk about that for days. It's the most important part of real estate. Oh, yeah.
And you'll have so many different techniques. You'll have so many people, you know, out there looking for deals for you. It's great, you know, and then everybody wins. You know, somebody brings you a deal and you end up buying it. You know, you say you give them $50 to bring you the lead. But guess what? If I buy it, I'll give you an extra $500.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for everyone. They love it. So, you know, you're going to have like a whole entire army out there, people looking for deals. So, hey, you guys remember that? So if you know a deal, call me up.
So, yeah, that's just the general overview. Oversimplified topics. We'll go in depth many times. It's going to be a learning curve for me. We'll be teaching everyone they want to get out of the rat race. They don't want to keep working their job. They want to get into real estate investing, or maybe for some people too. It's a big thing with older people with their retirement. That's another thing I realized. If you're a little worried about your retirement, you don't want to work the rest of your life.
At that seminar, can you believe how many?
Most people were about 55, 60, and they were just.
Yeah, that's not old, my boy.
Okay. You see, he's getting a little worried himself. He's getting up there. So.
But yeah, it's amazing though how many they just wanted to supplement their retirement.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe one or two deals, you know, if they could get an extra $1,500 a month, that's all they need.
And if we could help you out with that, if you're one of those kinds of people, we'd be willing. If you're a younger person and you just don't want to work a job the rest of your life, we're here for you too. Let's say you're the seasoned D student that you keep talking about. Listen, we want to get you out of the rat race before you're even getting
I would love to be able to mentor someone and then they just are just killing it. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Come pulling up in your Ferrari and stuff. You know, I'm not that flashy kind of guy. I drive a Mitsubishi still, you know, 3-cylinder ride.
So we're here to teach all you guys, and it'll be fun talking about these topics. As you can tell, the time has flown by.
Yeah, 42 minutes. Yeah. Hour probably 45. So let's end up wrapping this thing up here, and we're looking forward to bringing you guys some knowledge going out in the field. You know, teaching you some techniques.
I'm looking forward to learning a lot myself too.
Listen, you may not have known it, but you've been in training. You've been in training my whole life.
Yep. Yeah,
I've had a car wash. I've been having him count dollar bills since he could crawl.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's it. So we will see you guys next time. Thanks for checking out the JJ Boys podcast. We'll see you guys soon.
See ya.
See ya.